Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy Freeman and Fabulous Febreze. Before we make a start on your emails, don't worry, Lucy's going to do them this week. Let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
I think it would be more fun to do a little recap on what happened in Ambridge on the Couch last week.
Can we just never go there again? I'm not ever going to listen to that episode. I want it just to drift down to the bottom of the pile, never, and just quietly deleted forever. Thanks.
It was the horrified gasp and the sound effects of that when you realised that it was going absolutely everywhere.
And the thing is, I've got it's so hot now. I've got bare feet recording this, and my feet are in the sticky patch, still sticky on the floor. But it was worth it, Lucy. It's a delicious drink.
Even if you are licking it off the walls.
It just came at a really desperate moment as well when I thought I could never face ever doing a podcast ever again.
But did you see that the photo that Claire's friend Pat posted of her plate awash with it after it had gone all over her quiche and her coleslaw?
Oh, so it's clearly... I didn't clock that. I thought she was drinking it. I knew she was drinking it.
No, and her plate was like an inch deep.
So the same thing had happened. Oh, I did not even clock that. I thought, that looks completely delicious. So that's why she said hibiscus coleslaw.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I must have been looking at it on the tube when it's so dark you can't see anything. Oh, right. So, oh, my God.
So it's not just you.
Oh, so we've done a bad influence on them because we've highlighted a con as well.
We've done a binfluence. That's what we've done.
Oh, don't. But I noticed that they haven't got in touch since.
No, I haven't told them it's been up yet. I'm not sure I'm going to. I'm just going to. Maybe we'll do a proper one where we have a grown-up testing it. Maybe we'll do that.
Well, yeah, but then we'll just... I don't know how we stop the fizz, because they're fizzy. I mean, I did, to be fair,
you
I did shake it.
You shook it up, you banana. And also
but
it said...
I feel like it's one of those drinks that you have to shake to get
no,
the full...
No, it's not Orangina.
But then it should say it's not full it fat milk with cream on the top.
It does say...
Does it say do not shake? It doesn't.
It does. And it also says you have to keep it in the fridge, because as soon as you take it out of the fridge, it starts to... The fermenting process starts again. And it gets a bit lively. So yours must have been
in a hot studio for at least half an hour.
Well, there you go.
Oh, God. Well, now I know.
If in doubt, read the instructions, Harriet.
And then last week...
exhausted all other options.
But genuinely, and I'm not just saying this, dear old Agua de Madres, it is really tasty.
It is yummy.
But I didn't mean to give it to the kids and I haven't given it to them again. And then when it happened...
I like a drink with the element of danger, to be honest.
Well, also, I was like,
jeopardy.
Because I'm surrounded by electrical equipment, I was like, right, okay, that was so stupid of me. I'm never going to bring a drink into the studio again. What am I holding in my hand, Lucy? A nice chilled glass of wine. we were going to have fizzy pop. Fizzy alcoholic pop.
When are we going to have fizzy
For our birthdays, I was going to open a bottle for us.
Oh, yes.
But we'll do that when we meet up.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, cheers.
Yes. Cheers.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.
Anyway, isn't it lovely to have Lucy back? Hopefully I sound a little bit more relaxed than I did last week. And I just had a sort of line of angst, sort of like twisting my stomach for the whole time I was speaking into this microphone, trying to read your emails, trying to read me. I just, you know, like you'd think reading out an email is actually really, is easy because you're just reading out. It's really hard. It's hard, isn't it? Because... you don't make it sound hard. You make it sound really easy. So I just assumed I could just read it out, not bother reading it before or anything.
You have to
it's
have a
hard,
quick
Lucy.
Quiz at it first.
You do.
As because you're otherwise reading you... it. I mean, I don't read the... I genuinely open the emails and start reading them straight off without checking.
Yeah,
but
you're good at... You're, what you're good at doing is separating the email from you. Whereas right. I couldn't work out what was the well, email, okay. yeah, Lucy yeah, yeah. Freeman or me.
Yeah, right.
It's hard. Mm. Anyway... Enough about me, Lucy.
Susan added into the mix.
Susan, I felt like a Nina Conti with that monkey on her hand. Oh, yeah. It's like she took on a life of her own. She's still haunting me in the cupboard, Lucy. About to pop out.
When you said at one stage, you went, you'd forgotten I was here, didn't you? And Mr. Newby just looked at the... and just went, what the hell is going on?
It's because it got so a bit surreal in yes, here after 25 minutes of trying to work out what the hell I was doing.
Anyway.
At least you didn't put anyone else in, Lucy.
Yes, but we did have lots of lovely emails from people who thought that was absolutely
well,
hilarious.
I think that's very
totally
generous.
Drenched.
In... Very generous of them. I won't be repeating that experience, thanks.
Shall I do the monologue?
Oh,
now?
Yes, please, because I've already forgotten what happened this week in Archers.
In Archers. This week on Archers was on even madder than normal. Well, my week anyway, as I had to catch up on Thursday and Friday, but they were mad too, so it was at least consistent. Susan had Hannah over, who Neil said he thought of as a friend. I do not think you do, Neil, as she tries to shaft you every time she gets a chance. Susan decided to go Mediterranean by cooking the whole of the Mediterranean all at once. Bruschetta is Italian, frittata is Spanish. Then she said she was toasting a baguette, which is French, and then served it with Rioja and possibly some borscht and herring. Now, I know I am renowned for not knowing what the day of the week it is, but boy, did they do a number on me this week when Neil said Chris could come round for his birthday dinner, which would either be a Thai green curry or a Sunday roast on Wednesday. Then I got extra confused about where Ardil, Linda, Robert and Krusty yeah, were when they were all having too. A lovely chat. Earlier in the day at Ambridge Hall, Linda, Robert and Ardil had all appeared to be in the shower together with Linda complaining about Ardil singing. Robert clambered out to open his Father's Day card from Mungo, who is his grandchild, which was a little mystifying, but not as mystifying as Robert then trying to seduce Ardil into singing show tunes at the Nativity. Linda poo-pooed this, and Robert said, I have never been so embarrassed. Oh, really? Said Linda. How about when I insisted on trespassing over Brookfield's land just to make a point, or when I got caught lying to Jolene about sleeping outside the bull, or when I told Joe Grundy you were having an affair, or the many, many times I have patronised and infuriated the villagers so much they've all walked out of the many, many appalling productions I've masterminded. Oh, yes, said Robert. I want a divorce. Over at Barrow, Martin Gibson was facing down a headwind. Always awkward, that. He's decided to economise by making the pigs otch up a bit and turning their heating down so they'll just have to use fake tan to make crackling. Usha popped out of hiding for 2 seconds and immediately got jumped on by Chris, who has completely lost his marbles. Maybe not entirely lost them, but he certainly chucked some of them in the am. Meanwhile, at the park, his daughter was walloping her cousin Xander over the head with a spade. Adam had attempted to cage Xander by sticking you in a massive hole in the sandpit and occasionally shouting, be careful, Xander, while Xander looked wildly around, wondering who that man was. Martha then got bored of trying to dig Xander out and decided to climb the slide to see if she could see an adult anywhere who might fancy looking after her. But no, there was only the lady with the long hair shouting at the madman wearing a blacksmith's apron and nothing else. So in an effort to attract their attention, she jumped off the slide. This seemed to provoke a tsunami of recrimination and paranoid conspiracy theories from Neil, who, like Wurzel Gummidge, had taken off his nice Neil head and put on angry bonkers Neil head. I like angry Neil when he tells Brian Aldridge he's not a very nice man at all, but not when he starts stalking social workers and asking them not to take Chris's child away as it's his birthday. The social worker had the same soothy, woothy voice that all professionals have on Ambridge and seemed to be very nice, but had slightly more time than I think real social workers do and also sounded a good deal less harassed. But just for mine and Harry's birthday, they have now made up, abandoned the whole thing with only the little matter of about 35 grand's worth of wasted solicitors and forensic accountancy fees to worry about. So thank you, scriptwriters, from both of us for that little birthday present.
Hurrah.
As it is nice for Martha, and also we were getting bored with the rowing. Krusty is so deliriously happy at having a job where her only responsibility is to not weed and also to point at trees and shout, tree, look, at school children. that she sounded slightly inebriated. She was flavour of the month, as Ardil wanted her to meet his grandma, and Linda asked if she could walk round the countryside sprinkling leaves about. I don't know about you, but I had no idea people did that. I thought leaves just fell off the trees. I didn't realise it was a task. I mean, they must do it dead early in the morning, the people that sprinkle the leaves on the ground. So the hours are quite long, I guess, but it is seasonal. Maybe it's the same people that pick them all up again with leaf blowers at 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning. Well, every day's a school day. Judging by the way Krusty was flirting her head off, I would say Cradil is on the cards, but I cannot bring myself to be cheerful about it, as it's Krusty. She'll snog him in a fortnight later, we'll find out. He's got a perfectly lovely husband in Solihull and a plan to turn Gay Grables into an asbestos factory. Steph cleaned the fridge and went out for dinner with Beth, not before one or both of them hurriedly changed outfits and raced over to Borchester General to pretend to be a doctor. Waste not, want not. Ben is getting rather worryingly overexcited about the Steph suddenly stupid party. The way he came up with that willy confetti so quickly suggested he had already got some stashed away somewhere, and he was far more enthusiastic about the male stripper than Beth was. Wait until I realise it's Rory. I'm not sure if you realise it, everybody, but we were just about to miss the which celebrity are they going to pull out of the bag to open the Ambridge Fete this year. Yeah. It's got to be someone A-list, fun, free on a Saturday afternoon to travel to an imaginary village in the Midlands, and most importantly, have something to plug via the BBC press office. Who could it be? Linda asked Krusty if she knew anyone from Countryfile. Kirsty? She's more likely to know one of the Wurzels. Anyway, no doubt it'll be Beyonce or Angela Merkel or someone low-key like that, and we can all forget about it. So it's a yes to Alice and Chris getting back together, a no to Krusty and Ardil, based purely on my pessimism, a hard yes to a bitter love triangle between Jacob, Alistair and Denise, or even a love rectangle if Denise's husband ever comes back from his bike ride. It could be the summer of love in Ambridge, or then again it could be like every other summer and we'll spend the whole thing worrying about the cricket, the flower and produce show and someone's wheat either getting too hot or too wet or too flattened. But I'm fine with that. We've all got enough else to worry about at the moment. No grand passions for us, thank you. The Wingle Sicket will do fine. The end.
Woo! Woo! Ooh. Happy birthday to you.
What were you doing throughout that, Harriet?
Could you hear me do stuff?
Yes, what were you doing?
I was actually... Do you know what? I know you always think I'm on Instagram or just checking
my... No, it was a different noise.
I was writing.
Were you?
Things I'd forgotten. Because it actually... Because now it's 5 episodes a week. Yes. I only remember things when you say them. Well, I had hear a sort of scratching noise.
Yes,
then?
I had 7 episodes a week because
Lucy's too many.
I forgot. I had to do Thursday and Friday from last week.
Yeah, I mean, it's taking a bit of getting used to even getting having the fun. It's quite a lot of arches.
Shall we ask them to drop it again?
Well, there was one episode. I think it was probably the Linda Ardil, just the Linda Ardil Robert episode, which was on Sunday, I think. They could have shelved that because nothing happened. Nothing happened except awkwardness all round, basically.
Do you remember that Victoria Wood line about her not when the man comes to the door and says, "We have reason to believe you haven't got a TV licence. That'll be £48, please." And she says, "Oh, I'm only watching Gardener's World." He says, "All right, then £17.90.
Well, that's the thing. They could have shelved it and we could have just listened, had four. Yeah. Or what it could do is come with a warning saying, this is integral to the rest of the week.
This one is what we like to call disposable. It's optional.
That might be the new flavour for Sundays.
Yeah.
That might just become the sort of armchair.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was all set in what just... Oh, I think Neil calling up Chris as well. Mm. Maybe that was... Oh, no, Chris and Usha, I quite liked Usha being back in it, actually, again. But, it's weird, isn't it? Because it's a bit like people who work a four-day week. You know, they work full-time, but they do it in a four-day week. You just... It's more productive.
Yeah.
But now that they've had to, now they're stringing it out for five again.
And it was like... Kirsty and
that was so weird. I was like, where are they? Because I was like, okay, first of all, it was at Linda's. That's fine.
Happened with Kirsty and Linda twice because then we had Kirsty and Adam. She was, and everyone was just
what
going,
was Adam doing?
Are you thinking? Yeah, I might make a move. Is that my bag? No, I don't know what I've done with my bag. Has anyone seen it? Has anyone got the keys to the loo? I'll just pop to the loo before I go. I was thinking, can we hurry along here? Some of us have got things to do.
I know. Got bloody podcast to record. It's weird though. Yeah, it was funny, the setting and the sort of. But then, of course, it's because Cardill is being set up.
Yes.
Which I don't mind, to be honest. I think that, you know what, you know, our long sort of dear old long suffering Ardil, finally, at least he gets to show a bit more of himself. But what I don't, I think what really, I don't mind Ardil, but what is, it's this constant sort of nicety niceness that is, when you're not quite sure if it's genuine or not.
No.
But everything he seems to do seems like he's trying to be nice all the time.
Yes.
And it's a bit grating, isn't it? Like he's so. I suppose it's because he's uptight and not very relaxed.
I mean, oh, are you? No, I'm doing an impression of Ardil.
I was like, okay, sorry, I've been really rude again. Sorry, I know we're trying to be more positive about the actors and stuff. Sorry.
No, but when he says nobody says, oh, if someone says something that like she said, I do rewilding or something, and he instead of going, oh, okay, that's...
Yeah.
So what's that? He went, oh, actually, I'm really interested in that. It's like he's got a tick list. Things to be interested in. Experiences like I can have in Umbridge. One, two, three, four, five.
I think they're going to uncover him as AI, aren't they?
What, a panel's going to swing open on the back of his head and it's just going to be...
I think so. That's going to be Kirsty's next failed relationship when she realises... Oh, when they finally make it to bed.
Yeah.
And all his wires come out. And he can't get an erection unless she presses the right button.
But that's
it's going to be like that brilliant show that was like on Channel 4. What was that show? Did you see that? Was it called Humans? It was so good.
Oh, yes.
It was really, really creepy.
Yeah.
But I think that's what Ardil is, isn't it? Clearly.
Cyber Ardil.
But why cannot they say, oh, by the way, who is the owner of Grey? Why cannot they say it? Stop leading us on, script writers, because it's becoming infuriating.
Says, actually, Kerry Davis answered today because someone said to him,
oh, did
just
he?
Tell us. He said it's Elon Musk.
I'd love it if it was. No, do you know what it's going to be? I think, prediction, it'll be the celebrity guest who's coming. Will turn out to be the owner, maybe.
No.
Do you not think? Stefan packed lunch. You're coming back. Do you remember when she was mooted?
I deliberately...
Do you think it's Judy Murray?
I deliberately blank out all the celebrity. I cannot
I think top three, Diana Ross, Judy Murray,
who's headlining Andy Glastonbury? Peters. Because they're going to be in the country, aren't they? So
as Paul McCartney, but I doubt he's going to make it up to her. You never know, though.
No.
He might be a fan.
Yeah.
I mean, they have top of the top, don't they?
Or the Queen before she dies. Maybe it's one of her kind of...
They've sort of had their chance now, haven't they? Mm. I guess she's got a busy schedule, but...
Yeah.
I mean, come on, Birmingham's not that far away. No. Or they could just do like, you know, like Paddington recorded at hers.
Yeah, yeah.
Get some audio equipment down there.
Yeah. Good.
Oh, it's so lovely to see you. Peacock! I mean, butterflies. Peacock, sorry. That was weird, wasn't it? Peacock! Oh, what? An exotic bird? No, just a butterfly. Oh, my nanny has lots of those. Does she? Great. It's like but actually, do you know what? I think for some reason, those two work together.
Yeah.
There is something quite endearing about the two of them.
They're both quite cack-handed at just being normal, I think.
That was a joke, Kirsty. He said something like sure, she made him laugh. And
no, it's because she said to him, oh, when I see you in your normal country clothes, you look nice in country clothes or something. And he was going, ha ha, what did you think I would be wearing?
And then that sort of like that joke got prolonged, didn't it? All his business affairs. And it was like, I know, I was prolonging the joke. There was quite a lot of joke-splaining, wasn't there?
Yes.
When like, Usha, the only person who, so Adam had, that was nervous laughter, which is quite funny. And then Usha had with Chris when he was like, oh, that was a joke. And she was like, that's why I'm laughing, Chris. But actually, she was the only one that delivered it genuinely, I thought. Like, I can't remember. There was just every time they tell us, every time they're sarcastic or bantering, they have to explain it so as not to offend the person, don't they? And that doesn't usually happen.
No, not unless you're talking to somebody who's either extremely old or extremely young. And then.
But I love Deesha because she just went, that's why I'm laughing, Chris. Yeah.
You duh brain. Yeah.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I agree.
Oh, the A&E episode. Mm-hmm. I've been in that situation probably about 3 or 4 times because I've got 3 or 4 kids, and there is always a point where one of them falls off a slide and is totally fine, but you have to take them to A&E just in case because they've bashed their head. And to be honest, none of mine have ever had a brain scan.
No.
I mean, the point about playgrounds is that they're bouncy, aren't they?
Yes.
So the babies don't hit their head.
But just remember, this one was built by modern slavery, so, you know, it could... There could be spiky bits or something.
They're gonna sue the grey man, aren't they?
Yeah.
I actually, although it was a bit like, I mean, it was quite unbelievable, wasn't it? It was very dramatic because it's unlikely, I think, that they would have called social services. Mm. Who isn't having a row at A&E when you've been waiting there for 5 hours and you're both really tired?
The child is ill and also hysterical with overtiredness and running around and therefore not looking ill at all.
But also completely fine, except they're going to pick up MRSI because you've been in A&E for 12 hours.
Yes.
But so I don't think I've ever been to A&E where I am not having a massive row with my husband or somebody else's. Actually, if someone else's, it's good because it's good people watching, isn't it?
Yes.
Passes the time.
Yes.
It's good entertainment for everyone, to be honest.
Yes.
And I would have loved it if I'd been in the cubicle next to them and she'd been talking about throwing a brick at her mother-in-law. I think that doctor was pissing herself before she came in.
She probably had all the nursing. Listen to this. They're still at it.
And the thing is, even though you haven't done anything wrong,
yeah,
of course. In fact, it's like A&E, isn't it? If you take your child to A&E, you're instantly going, they're looking for bruises. They're checking my mental state. They are definitely blaming me for this because I'm a terrible mother. And yes, you should send social services round. You just send them round.
Just take them all.
So I actually really, I felt really sorry for Alice and Chris.
I know I did.
But then it was so obvious, wasn't it?
It
was exactly as you predicted, Lucy. You said, or maybe we both said, they'll be reconciled over her hospital bed.
Oh yeah, we did, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
But we also thought they might be reconciled over Brian's hospital bed when he had a heart attack. But then we realised that actually...
Yeah, but they can't write Brian
Chris
out.
Wouldn't give a toss. About Brian, so
he would have put Brian in the hospital bed.
Stay there, you old fart.
I wish they'd do a little spin-off from Debbie's Farm. I wish Debbie would do a little vlog. I'd love to know how she's getting on with Brian. Having not seen Brian and Jennifer for a long time, I'd quite like to know how it's all going out there.
Yes. Well,
but
we're
I guess
going
she'll
to find out, are we? Because she's probably doing something.
But
in the
I'm
West End.
I don't care that it was all really unrealistic. I fancied the social worker. I thought he got a bit naughty asking about the affair.
Yes, I couldn't massively see the relevance of that.
I think he was sort of getting a bit pervy with Alice.
No,
of course he wasn't. But would you? You didn't go. It's completely irrelevant, isn't it?
It is. The cause of the divorce. I mean, as long as the...
What base did they get to? Was it like...
did they actually outside diesel?
Did she take her bra off? She did. I know she took her bra off. I mean,
tights.
What's her bra size? Have you got any more biscuits? It was a bit weird.
And also, honestly, social workers have about 7 minutes to come in and go, okay, right, so what's happening? Which one are you? Sorry, beep, beep. Sorry, I'm being wrong. Hang on a minute.
Yeah, the doctor who did the break. You get people out as quickly as you can, don't you?
Yeah.
She wouldn't have had time or inclination, surely. But that's the way it's going, isn't it? That's the way this country's going.
I cannot talk about anything else depressing today.
Oh, Lucy, no.
No, it's just the news. It's just so...
Oh, God. It's like an episode of Black Mirror or...
Well, we're going backwards. Somehow someone's thrown the lever and we're going back.
I tell you what we're going back to. We're going back to, like, the year you were born, Lucy.
Yes.
The beginning of the 70s.
Oh my God.
About 1968. When were you born? 19...
Piss off! 72. It's only because I told Twitter that you were 52.
I know. I'm annoyed about that because people...
I know you are.
True.
I can tell when you...
When I just gave you a tiny emoji in reply.
Cross
it's like emoji. when you don't reply with a kiss.
Yeah. That'll teach them.
Yeah, I was annoyed about that because people will believe it.
They will, for God's sake. You don't sound 52, you moron.
Oh, they're never so kind, Lucy. If only you knew how I really spoke. Well, we're both birthday girls, aren't we, Lucy?
Yes.
Because my birthday on Sunday, yours is on Monday, but yours is important.
Should we have a stupid party like Steph?
Do you know what, Lucy? I know you and Mr. Newbie were slagging me off. I can't get enough of the Caseys. Case closed.
Casey
as far as
closed.
I'm. She... I like Steph. Does she really piss? Does she annoy you?
She's just thick.
But I think what they're trying to do is now they're humanising her, aren't they? Slowly, because I think she's probably got a bit of longevity, and they're trying to. With the sort of like bonding with Beth, they're showing a bit more of a less cartoon side.
Yes, and she did do a good job with the kitchen.
Oh, they were sweet. Yeah, when she cleaned the kitchen. Yeah. But what I don't really get is presumably Vince can just set her up in a new flat.
Yeah.
Or why can't she go and live with him?
She doesn't want to be on her own, does she? Because she's sad.
But she's got a gran, hasn't she? What was the gran's name? Can't remember. Do you remember the gran? Vince's mum.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Well, she lives with Vince though, doesn't she?
Yeah, but Steph should go there. But I really enjoy her. I really enjoyed the Gold Willies. I really like Ben. I like Beth, except I like Beth less when she's being a bit moany and...
Yeah, she's a bit judgy. But then if everyone... Because everyone's saying Ben and Beth are...
Getting a bit sensible. He's just... What I liked was him just so desperate to get his end away again.
Yeah.
You could sort of feel his pent-up frustration.
Well, I'm sure Beth could. I think people are saying they're going to be the new Dan and Doris because they are quite similar. They're stable. They're interested. They've kind of got the... But I don't know quite how he's going to... Because he's not a farmer. He's a nurse. But anyway.
They could end up just taking over the farm, couldn't they?
Yeah. But then why was he training as a nurse?
Well, also, we haven't heard from Pip for a while, have
no.
we? If I was
Happy
Pip, I'd get a bit...
Here again.
Yeah, but wouldn't you be a bit cross? It's like... do you know what it's like? It's like the royal family when suddenly Prince Louis is the star.
Yes.
Not the eldest child.
Yeah.
It's the younger one that's more maverick and interesting. Mm. And that don't cause... So, yeah, no, you sort of wonder if Pip's feeling a bit out in the cold at the moment.
Mm.
Rosie, just make a funny face or something on a balcony. Just need some more attention. Rosie. so I don't mind. I like them. I'm really happy for them to be.
But if they are the new Dan and Doris, or at least the new David and Ruth, then she is quite a Ruthie type character. She's quite negative. She's quite... She can be a bit gloomy.
But
she can be a bit judgy.
Yeah, she can be a bit gloomy, actually. But I just put that down to her being tired. Mm. I don't really mind it because Steph is nice and fluffy. And I'm happy for her to have that party.
Steph is like a feather boa as a person, isn't she?
Yeah, but I think you need more of that in Ambridge.
Well, yeah.
Because there's nothing... I mean, I know she's annoying to people, but there's nothing, sort of down about... You know, it's light, isn't it? Light entertainment.
Yes.
Froth. I don't mind that.
Froth, froth, froth.
Froth.
Lady, we better do the emails because we've got about 27 gabillion.
Oh, right, okay. And I think you should...
Would you like
to
read them?
No, are you joking? Oh, and apparently... Mm-hmm. I'll come back to that.
Okay. Ooh, I'm intrigued now.
No, it's nothing interesting.
Okay.
It's that lovely voice, what I didn't... Everybody's been saying...
Oh, Catherine Rowan-Jones. She's got an amazing voice. Yeah.
Do you know her voice?
Yeah.
Would I recognise it then? I probably would.
Yeah.
Maybe I heard it on Dumpty Dum in the old days.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to have a listen.
Very throaty.
Is it now?
Yes, like that.
Lucy.
Yeah, it is pretty much like that, actually.
Okay.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have to edit some of your emails because we've got billions of them. Lindsay Giles says, I have a request. Could you be slightly less funny for the next few weeks? Yes, not a problem. I tend to listen while doing a longer run.
Have you listened to the first 20 minutes of this?
I tend to listen while doing a longer run on a Sunday, and it turns out it's quite hard to run while also trying not to have a fit of the giggles. I almost had to stop listening to Febreze. Now, this is the edited bit because it's all very confusing. I'm also due to get married 2 weeks after the race. It's not going to be a normal wedding. She's doing a race, training for a half Ironman triathlon.
Oh, my God.
It's not going to be a particularly normal wedding in that the bride and groom are arriving together. The bride is not being given away by her dad. She's not property, after all. I have a best lady rather than a best man. And frequent correspondent of the show, Helen Sherwood, is coming, which means there will be three Ambridge on the Couch listeners in the same place. Will this be a record?
Wow. Where is the wedding? Can we come?
Wait, stop trying to crash people's weddings.
Oh, I love weddings.
You just love not being at your house.
I love weddings and divorces. this sounds like a good wedding.
It does
we might
like
need
a
live...
Wedding.
A live
and they
feed.
Also they were geocaching in Oxford and they found a gravestone, Philip Moss's gravestone. And they sent me a picture of Philip Moss's gravestone. Thank you very much.
Oh, I love it. One storyline they didn't bother broadcasting.
You know the tune? What was last week's tune?
No, we didn't have one last week.
No, it was the week before, wasn't it? It was the lovely classical music from...
Oh, yes.
Which everybody knew.
Yeah, but we didn't know what it was called.
Clover Slack says she believes that the music played was used for an advert in the 70s or 80s for Anchor Butter. I may be wrong, but some of the lyrics came rushing back, such as...
That's right, it was from an advert.
Housewives like it for the lovely price. Families like it because it tastes so nice. Keep up the good work. Best wishes, Clover. Thank you, Clover.
Oh, thanks. Yes. Clover Butter,
I'm going
no
to
less.
Try... later and see if I can make those.
I thought it might be from one of the Kit Kat ones, but you know, like when they had the penguin. Do you remember that when I've seen it on YouTube. You know, have a break, have a Kit Kat. He's waiting for the pandas to come out.
Oh, yes.
And then he has his Kit Kat and they come out and then he turns back around. Anyway, yes. It probably isn't.
Right.
I actually agree about the laughing and running because I sent you that voice note, didn't I, when you and Mr. Newby were doing it, and I had to stop because I just practically pissed my pants laughing. But it was what I was actually laughing at was the advert placement. It was, again, so inappropriate. It really made me laugh.
We are nothing.
Come to my garden, my holy water. I can't remember what it was like, my sacred garden. You'd been talking about somebody's big... anyway, it was just highly inappropriate again.
Now, do you remember when Mr. Newby and I were doing it? There was a thing about the Plague Village.
Yes, I wanted to. What I wanted to also say was, I sort of need a bit more info on that.
Okay. Well, Liz Danziger has messaged and said, I pronounced it Iam. She said it's pronounced Eam. Between 1/3 and 2/3 of the village population died of plague. However, it has been discovered that many present-day village inhabitants who can trace their ancestry in the village back to that time possess a genetic mutation, Delta 32. This same mutation was discovered some 20 years ago to be common among members of the male gay community who had avoided HIV infection in spite of a high-risk lifestyle. There was a Channel 4 documentary about it. What? Scientists being scientists are still arguing the toss on the subject. However, the pronunciation is eme. Thank you, Beth and Livia.
What? So if you had a bit of plague in you from your ancestors...
Yeah, well, I don't know whether you... If you were born with that genetic mutation, it gives you a protection against... certain viruses, one of which was the Black Plague, and apparently that it shared characteristics with the HIV infection, with an HIV.
But you know, they sort of isolated the village.
Yeah.
How did they get the plague then? Because of the food that was being brought in was contaminated.
No, somebody. They. I don't know. I don't know that. I don't.
That
know.
Was the bit I needed to ask.
I don't know.
And now that's you say you don't
very
know.
Very good question. So I'm sorry, I've let you down.
If anybody does have any information on how the plague did come into the village. Yes. Thanks.
Thank you. Charlotte Morgan. I'm not sure that this email will be particularly coherent as I'm currently suffering from sleep deprivation resulting from fear of shutting my eyes and reliving the terrifying accounts of plagues of rats in last week's podcast.
Yes, me too. I can't get it out of my head.
I've recently
that poor
had
guy.
The trauma of a massive rat visiting my garden.
Oh my God.
Thanks to my husband leaving out an opened tub of bird fat balls. So the recent rat-based anecdotes really are the icing on the cake. I can't imagine that there's anything worse than surviving an earthquake only to find that your only hope of salvation is to hook yourself up to a giant rat with a backpack. Anyway, on to the archers. Good news about the one of each twins, but can I send a plea to the scriptwriters that their birth should be as non-dramatic as possible, perhaps involving a pre-planned C-section and the only tension being Pat and Tony waiting nervously at Bridge Farm for some news, then Tom calling to say little Patrick and Antonia are doing fine. I cannot take any more emergency deliveries. Huge thanks to you all for the podcast. It is fantastic. I love Matt's music. I must have played the Indian classical music 100 times. Me too. And I smile every time I hear Radio Borsetshire. As a resident of a Shire county not too far from Borsetshire, the way in which local newsreaders say Warwickshire rather than Warwickshire has long been a source of irritation to me. I thought I was the only one. Best wishes, Charlotte.
I thought, why didn't Natasha just find out one sex? Like, why didn't they just agree to find... Like, didn't have to...
Yes.
To, as a compromise, just find out what one is.
One each. They could...
yeah, she or could do one each. One. Yeah, and it's a big surprise.
How would they know which one? Richard Keeling says, once again, I am convinced you're writing The Archers. On last week's episode, Lucy and Mr. Newby had discussion about holidays and how people never leave Ambridge. This week, we have a whole scene telling us where Hammer has travelled to. Can you please have a discussion about who the Grey Man is? Yes, I mention this in every year, but surely they can't not resolve that storyline. Mm. Who am I kidding? Elizabeth came off antidepressants when they got bored of that story and nothing was ever said about it again. Is it wrong to wish a premature birth on Natasha just so we don't have to endure any more Pat and Tony scenes for a while? Ooh! Harsh, Richard. Very harsh. Mind you, I should think premature birth would actually be quite preferable to sweating
Wait,
around.
There's been a premature birth, anyway. Heat.
Sorry?
Wasn't Alice, wasn't Martha was premature, wasn't she?
Was she?
Yeah. She was premature, a little bit premature. Wasn't she? I think she was, because of the fetal alcohol syndrome. Scare. Ah. I mean, now I'm wondering whether... I think she was like a month premature or something.
Oh.
Yeah, or a few weeks at least.
Josh Steinhurst. This is more... he's in the Pacific Northwest. He says, I don't know
to
if Mr.
Specific.
Newby was describing the life of a middle-aged man from personal knowledge or simply looking ahead to his future. Simply not being allowed... They're talking about being in a scanner. You know, when you... Because people nodding off when they're having medical procedures. Simply not being allowed to do anything, much less expected to, is an amazing treat. I agree. I had a scan and they just said, just lie still and don't move for 10 minutes or something. And I thought, fantastic. Anyway, early in COVID, I had a filling replaced, which was a surprisingly blissful away from my school at home young daughter and work at home computer until I was nudged awake to keep my mouth open. few years earlier, I fell asleep in an MRI scanner. They are very loud and somewhat concerning as you keep worrying that you somehow forgot having metal bits in your body that you never knew about. Despite the racket, I dozed off to the irritation of the technician. Keep up your wonderful banter, Josh in the Pacific Northwest.
Wow. Because I heard that MRI scanners are really claustrophobic.
Well, yeah.
But I guess if you like that sort of environment.
Yeah, some people... Yeah,
it's like a cocoon,
find that
I guess.
Relaxing.
Wow.
Naomi Haas, lovely, lovely podcaster, ladies and gentlemen. So much to say, maybe I've already missed your recording for this week. I'm in Toronto and therefore in the future. So, something doesn't sit right about Chris and Alice. I was never convinced about her asking for a divorce. It made sense as far as part of her recovery, but why can't they be together now that she's grown into her newly recovered self? Exactly. They were a good couple, or at least if they weren't, should we have heard more about how they were deeply dysfunctional? I'm not convinced. Also not convinced about her taking control of her dad. A huge potential grow-up moment here, but no fulfilment. I'm wishing for her to take control of her life and tell all the men to stop being so impulsive. Which brings me neatly to Ruth. Was she especially irritating and condescending this week? I wanted to punch her in the face. I teach pre-teens and have two toddlers, so my usual patience is pretty exceptional. But her attitude to David's concerns about what's her name off EastEnders suddenly single party, Beth's sister, is yuck and annoying.
Is she off EastEnders?
No, it's Stella that's off EastEnders.
Yeah.
I don't know where thing is from.
No, don't know who that actor is.
Something is definitely going to explode between David and Vince. It'll be awful and laden with unexplored class issues.
Yeah.
Any other grievances to air? I'll remember after I press send. A little distracted by the fodder bum I need to wipe and the requests for nail polish. Better not get muddled with these two. Adoringly yours, Naomi from Dollarama.
Oh, we adore you too.
Yes.
I liked Ruth's patronisingness to Steph because I like Steph. So I just liked Ruth supporting her. And but I think Ruth is going to overly enjoy the Golden Willies.
Yes. She's going to get really... She's going to be like one of those women
so
that says...
It's so naughty, David. Yeah. Oh, is that a willy sheep?
She'll be standing on a table whirring a pink Stetson around her head, won't she? Within seconds.
I think that's the thing. She's really up for this party, Ruth, isn't she?
Yeah. Well,
and
secretly,
I can see why.
Lesbian, and so she likes the idea of everybody hating, having big banners that say all men are shit or whatever.
Well, also, do you remember when Steph asked Freddie for a threesome?
Yeah.
I wondered if we were heading into Steph asking Beth and Ben for a threesome.
No, not with your sister.
I know.
Sake.
I know. That's a bit too
well,
weird,
actually,
isn't it?
No.
Do you know people that do that?
But they're famous people.
What? Are they on the Archers?
No. I'll tell you afterwards. Right. Amy's message to say that the reason that he said Gerulaitis was because Kate said namaste and he was thinking of Ilya Nastase. That's why.
They went right over my head, all those references.
You are only 52, I know.
Except namaste, ovs.
Ovs. Chloe Fowler. I wanted to share an alternative theory on the Ruri and Julianne storyline.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's been paid for gigolo-type activities. It's clearly not a sexual relationship. And as someone pointed out a few weeks ago, I think a woman in her 40s or 50s is more likely to pick a gigolo in his late 20s or 30s, not someone who is student age, if she wants people to think he's her lover. I think he's being paid to pretend to be her son. Don't know why. Perhaps she's invented one that she needs or wants to bolster her social standing. But with his strained relationship with Jenny and Siobhan dead, perhaps he's seeking a pseudo-mother rather than a lover.
Do you think it's like on Only Fools and Horses when they needed...
couchlets, by the way. I like
that.
Oh,
that's cute.
Hello, couchlets.
Hey there. Like, you know, when Rodney had to become Del Boy's son so they could go free to that holiday.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the only reason you might need a son, so you could get in free to a, kids.
I think you're half right, Chloe. I think that he's definitely looking for that mother figure, and the boundaries are so blurred because when you're the product of a passionate affair rather than a marriage, and I'm not saying marriages aren't passionate, but then your mother is intrinsically linked with sex, whereas most children like to imagine that their parents had them by magic, rather than address the fact that their parents ever got that close to each other.
I mean, it's disgusting. It is, let's face
quite
it.
Quite frankly, appalling.
Disgusting. But what we should do, Lucy, as our birthday present to ourselves,
is
go and see. Yes!
Cool.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm Googling them now, actually. Okay. If anyone has any, is going to see that new Emma Thompson movie because somebody mentioned it. Do you remember a few weeks ago?
Yes.
And we didn't know what they were talking about.
The advert kept coming up when they were listening.
Yeah, but it's actually got really good reviews. Good luck to you, Leo Grande.
Yeah, not in the Times.
Oh no! Of course, they slagged it off, didn't they? I think the Guardian gave it a thumbs up. What did the Times say? Did they say it was cheesy?
They just said it was a bit earnest and a bit, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I find Emma Thompson a bit earnest and irritating, but I thought he looked rather dishy. And I think it's quite because it's related to the Archers, we could go for a podcast trip.
Okay.
Podcast school trip, go to one of those matinees, you know.
Yeah.
Have a little lunch afterwards, Lucy.
Okay.
Discuss.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, done.
Vicky Cole says, last week's show made me laugh so much, mostly I'm afraid at Harriet's kefir drink malfunction.
My God. God.
The adverts I got were a rather sexy voice advertising Air France business class. And honestly, I wondered if they would wish to be associated with that whole drink debacle. Seriously, well done,
painful.
Harriet and Susan, for keeping the show on the road. And
I know, thank God she had me. A professional broadcaster.
You are my favourite podcast of the week, she says.
Oh, that's so nice.
P.S.
Thank you.
Catherine Rowan-Jones has a fabulous voice, so I'm looking forward to that too.
I'm looking forward to hearing it in the flesh.
Catherine, I'll play it in properly next week.
Because I think having one of those nice, husky voices is a very
excellent thing. I was thinking, do you remember,
thing.
Who's the actress that played Nigel's mother? She's died
now.
Oh,
yeah, she was really wonderful, wasn't she? Who played
Mary
Julia.
Wimbush.
Oh, I mean, she was like the most famous radio actress ever,
and
wasn't
her
she?
Her voice was incredible
and
quite similar to Catherine's.
Oh, I might find it, actually. That really was, It was she. Oh, it's such a shame that those sort of characters don't exist anymore.
I know. Right, Pat McClelland. Dear Lucy, you take a week off and what happens? Harriet Carmichael turns the world of influencing on its head.
Oh,
that's what
God.
Happens. Oh, to have been a fly on the wall as Agwe Damare's PR person listened to Harriet utter those prophetic words. I'm going to shake it up, then tell us that kefir is disgusting. In fact, it makes her want to vomit. But on the plus side, it only made her children a little bit drunk and the bottle is stunning. Very, very beautiful, in fact. Did I tell you how lovely the bottle is? Until now, I believed myself to be uninfluenceable, but I placed an order with Agwe Damare out of pure gratification for the comedy gold that ensued. I'm looking forward to future innovations in influencing, but strongly recommend that when you're asked to do the long-awaited tenor endorsement, Harriet has a responsible adult with her in the recording cupboard. And she doesn't shake anything up, I think would also be useful, Pat.
Did I introduced it basically going, it sounds so disgusting, it made me want to vomit, and I gave alcohol to my children. I shouldn't be in a position of influence, Lucy.
You shouldn't be allowed out without a responsible adult, never mind in a position of influence. Bloody hell.
But you
know,
people have bought the product.
I'm not her podcasting co-presenter. I'm her carer. This is how it works. Anyway, right. Heather Fossey said, I was very pleased to find out that you two crazy ladies and Febreze have teamed up. I spent a lot of time with the COVIDs in March catching up with your fantastic pods. Oh dear, I'm sorry you had the COVIDs. I was wondering if you could pass the following on to Febreze as I'm quite perplexed. Oh, she also says, I'll give you a review if you remind me which is the one you prefer for the ratings. It's iTunes, isn't it?
iTunes, please. iTunes, I don't. Please. Yeah, I think iTunes is better because then you go up in the Apple charts.
Yes.
Something like that.
Right. This is the message for Febreze. I'll read it out and then hopefully he will listen. Dear Febreze, I have just come to stay with my daughter and her pussies while I recover from getting a new knee last week.
Of course, that's not funny.
I noticed a strange smell on the blankets which she has there for the pussies to sit on. It really makes me feel a bit sick, but I've just had an anaesthetic. She tells me that it's Febreze. D- Did you come to visit my daughter, maybe? I'd like to put you in touch with my lovely son or his husband if you'd like some advice about your cologne, as they always smell really fabulous. All the best, Heather.
Oh, my God. Fabrice has genuinely been on her pussy.
I know.
He's sat his arse on her daughter's pussy. This is too rude. Stop it. This is disgusting. Sorry. But she started it.
It's her fault. Yeah, but she's under anesthetic. That's her.
Yes,
that's
true. Yeah, but I've had a glass of wine now, Lucy.
Which
that's
is pretty much the same, really. Owen Kiffin said, just a quick note to say that the natural order of the universe has been restored. I spent this weekend moving the boat down to a mooring nearer where we're now living. Lovely cruise down, but more importantly, I got to listen to the podcast while dealing with the chemical toilet.
Hooray!
Just like the good old days. Keep up the splendid work,
full circle.
Owen.
Oh, Owen, that's main. You know, it's like equilibrium in the world again. That's really genuinely reassuring.
All is as it should be. Steve Barry says, may I say what a masterpiece last week was? So slick. Loved it. Bravo. Regards, Steve. P.S. Lucy, please don't go away on holiday again. And is Harriet really allowed to look after children?
I know. Look, it.
They were only a bit drunk, Steve. A bit.
They slept well.
Yeah.
And the packaging is so pretty.
Yeah.
We all admired it. Just don't put it in your coleslaw. Like, Pat's friend Claire. Claire's friend Pat.
Oh, now. This is Monique.
Monique.
No, because it's a different spelling. Oh. This suddenly hit me. Natasha delivers healthy twins, but sadly dials in childbirth, thus setting things up for the reunification of Kirsty and Tom.
Oh, my God.
Super love your podcast in all forms, even when it's only Harriet and Susan. Love from Michigan.
Oh, my God. That is a bombshell.
It is, isn't it? Imagine that.
But she's with Ardil. Cardil won't accept a reunion with Tom. God, blimey. I think that nothing bad is going to happen, because it's like, otherwise it means you just can't have a baby without something awkward or terrible happening.
Yeah. It's good,
they're
it?
Just going to be and she's just going to be a standard annoying mum.
Yeah.
With twins.
Oh.
And I never get a break, Tom, because I'm always either breastfeeding or pumping apples or squeezing melons. I'm like a human fruit machine.
Ka-ching!
She is going to be very irritating as
she
a mama.
She really is. She's going to be one of those women that she's the only woman ever to have had a baby, ever.
Yeah, because she's the only woman who's ever been pregnant as well, isn't she? Yeah. She's the only woman who's ever had diabetes.
Yeah. Right, Philip Bailey, who is quite cross. Dear lovely Lucy and Heartfelt Harriet, I am getting really annoyed with the Chris and Alice storyline. The whole Martha was injured under your care angle was unrealistic and tedious, and both Chris and Alice's constant hand-wringing and endless apologies are driving me to distraction. The rent-an-actor social worker followed in the recent tradition of 2D policewomen, counsellors, solicitors and accountants who all over-explain their roles in a tedious exposition, always in the same soft, caring voice. Please let Martha be adopted by the Carters, Jazza, the life giver, or even a pack of wolves, just to see Chris and Alice sod off back to Vegas or somewhere forever. Yours angrily, Phil in Exeter, wondering if my wish for 6 days a week may be coming back to haunt me. Yeah, I think we've all... Hooray,
Phil.
Fridays are back! Oh, God,
Phil,
Fridays are back!
Right again when you've heard Friday's episode.
Yeah.
You'll be changing
your tune.
It'll
be cross about something else by then. And, oh, this is a sad one from Jennifer Corley. She says, as most of you know, I had a wren. Mine was called Joy.
Oh.
Fair play to the archers. I'm really glad they didn't do those poignant moments of graveside with Wren. Then that's that, and off Sausage Boy goes rejoicing at his twins. In fairness, Tom is being a dick. But he's being a dick because he's absolutely terrified and traumatised, which is spot on. I wish one of his bloody family, apart from Natasha, would recognise this and get him some help. Natasha has enough to be dealing with and should be able to enjoy her pregnancy and be excited, so should Tom. He sounds a bit more cheerful now, Jen. He needs proper help, not just Tony telling him it'll be fine, get over yourself. Since when was any mental health condition treated effectively by cheer up might never happen? Tom obviously has pretty serious anxiety. So frustrating they picked Tom of all people for such a delicate storyline, but really good reflection of pregnancy after loss. Well done, scriptwriters. And I was here hoping the twins do go to term normally without any silly drama.
Yeah.
Hoping for that, of course, chances of it are slim. Lots of love to everyone. I personally hope Natasha delivers in Febreze's salon and names one of them after him.
I think that's totally right. I'd forgotten that because it made the... her irritating sort of, oh, I'll tell Pat what it is. It made Tom's decision not to find out believable, didn't it? And you can see why he wouldn't. I can totally understand why you wouldn't want to.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to emotionally invest too much yet, does he? Which is really sad. But
and there is all that. It's not superstition. It's just...
sort of is superstition, isn't
but
it, I think?
It's just the fear, because it all feels so incredibly fragile. Even when your baby is entirely healthy and everything is going to plan. When it's your first one, especially, you... just the kind of...
not everyone, but I think some people... I mean, I was the same. I never wanted to find out any of them because I was so... I just thought it might jinx something, you know.
It's the fear of tempting fate. Yeah. I'm looking forward to this too much, so it's going to be taken away from me.
Because you're more likely to find a name and, you know, buy the
staff. And if, like Tom, you have had it taken away from you, then you are going to be absolutely...
And I wonder, actually, if the storyline will actually be how he... you know, like, because of, you know, he's going to be overjoyed, obviously, but he's going to feel slightly different to Natasha, isn't he? Because it's going to stir up quite a lot of... you know, trauma for him, probably. Yeah. I don't know, but I imagine there might be a bit of, you know, I don't know what that feeling might be like. Mm. Yeah. But yeah, interesting.
Yes. Yes. And that is the end of the emails. Thank you.
End of the emails.
And now, let's
still
haven't
found Mary Wimbush. It's just adverts. Anyway, never mind.
And now, let's go over to Radio Borchers. Radio Borchester, where Febreze of Felpersham is learning about the ancient ways of marriage.
Oh, miss, you cut up then.
Oh.
You did the ancient ways of...
is learning... no, that's just how I talk.
Peacock.
Is learning... horse paintings.
Ask.
is learning about the ancient ways of Ambridge.
Radio Borsetshire. Colin, I am very shocked and complained. Finally, I get car parking space for my woohoo, and now they introduce this identity thing on automatic gate. I was following instructions to take selfie for machine, the light was terrible, and I could not get the right angle, so I kept looking old in all the photos, and I didn't notice and barrier came down and crushed my woohoo. How do I complain? Do not wag finger at me. I am one what should complain. Oh, sorry. Hello, and welcome to the afternoon show with me, Febreze of Felpersham. Looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have. This week, I have a lovely special guest with me, Mrs. Clary Grundy. Now, because I am on Radio Borchester, I need to know more about the people of Ambridge, because they are so funny and mad. And so Mrs. Clary Grundy is going to tell all about ancient country custom, because she is ancient and live in the country.
Steady on, Febreze. Although, to be honest, I am feeling a bit decrepit, as I hurt my knee at the cricket about a month ago, and no one's heard from me since. So hopefully this will serve to remind everyone I'm still alive.
Oh, you play cricket. That is very old country custom. All white flapping about, and everyone stopped for tea and whacking the stumpers. Were you having the runs when you hurt your knee?
No, I strained my groin trying to grab Eddie's ball.
Oh, yes, we have all been there. Was it that rubber night at Jack's?
No, we stopped going to that. It clashes with Spring Watch.
Oh, now we have drifted away from point. So, what are ancient country custom of Ambridge? I have looked up some from other bits of England. I found cheese rolling, barrel jumping, and beating the bounds. At Lower Loxley, there was egg rolling, I saw. How old is that custom?
Ah, no, that has been a custom since April. It's an old tradition of country life that you can come up with all kinds of ancient customs if there's a bit of money in it. Elizabeth Pargeter is especially good at that. If the petty cash is down in the orangery, she just pops up into the attic, pretends she's found some old document or something, and then we all go along with it.
Oh, I love Lady Elizabeth Lord Loxley. She is so cunning, like a gangster in kitten heels. So, I could roll some eggs about. What else could I do in Ambridge? What is ancient and custom?
Well, there's changing houses. That happens every time we need a bit of a shake-up. We don't need removal vans or anything. We just stagger back and forth with our boxes of stuff and live in each other's houses for a bit. I'm in Oliver's at the moment. Before that, I was in Wills. Now, Johnny's in Wills, after he left Bridge Farm when Natasha and Tom moved in. Now they're at Cathy's.
And where is Cathy?
Alaska. Some people will do anything to win.
This must be nightmare for postman.
Oh, it is. He's given up now. He just chucks all our letters on the green and we fight it out. There's a few more aged customs. For example, beat the lich, where all the women in the village under 45 have to outrun Brian Aldridge up the stairs. Oh, then there's save the fight, when we take it in turns to hide the megaphone from Kenton, but so far he's always managed to find the bloody thing. Every other Sunday we take it in turns to let each other's cows out on the road, as that's always good for a laugh, and gets everyone running about and shouting. A stir-up Sunday is when Alice Carter gets pissed and goes round the village telling everyone home truths. And every year we give an award to the person who's done the most lunatic thing. This year it was Roy Tucker for going into quite a lot of unnecessary detail to his boss about being a massive racist. We call it Unstrung Zero.
Goodness me, but you must be so busy in Ambridge. Always celebrate something.
Well, it's either that or going to the bull.
Ah, yes, I see. Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Clary Grundy. That is all most interesting and weird. In Eurovisia, we also have many custom in the rural areas. Well, really, there is only rural areas. We have one big town, Perplonsk, and that is it.
I have to say, I don't know a great deal about Eurovisia, Fabrice. What is Perplonsk known for?
Oh, it is the world's biggest producer of nipple tassels. And out in the country, they do weaving. They make the grey stringy stuff that get wrapped around the filter of your wash machine and break it. We have some very fun traditional custom, though, like marry the pig, Molotov cocktail day, and also hound the gay out of the village. Oh, now I am sad.
Don't worry, Fabrice. You can always go back.
You must be joking. Anyway, bye-bye from Fabrice and Mrs. Clary Grundy. And remember, if you do not know any rural custom, make up your own. As long as they are about dressing up and drinking, who care what they mean? Bye-bye.
Radio Borsetshire.
Do you think Xander pushed Martha off that slide?
Totally.
I do.
I think he's a psychopath.
Because
already.
Adam, oh well, Adam, his father is a psychopath. Adam did a nut. Wasn't he just completely Adam doing his like, yeah, yeah, build a sandcastle. That's right. Anyway, Alice, as I was saying,
before I
like,
was so rudely
literally no interest
by that small person. Yeah. I don't know who that is, but he keeps following me.
Don't push Martha, Xander.
They did sound like a pair of totally ineffectual parents, didn't they?
Also,
the sort of parents that you see in the playground and think, oh God, I'm going to end up looking after your kids.
Oh, exactly.
You're totally not going to do it.
That's exactly what they were. They were those parents. I mean, we've all been there. But they were those parents where you end up looking after their kids who you've never met before because they're too busy having a good time.
Is it your go? Did you think it's your go? Okay, well, maybe...
If you stand behind that little boy with the doll, no, don't hit him. Don't hit him. Sorry, well, it's just because where is your mummy?
I only bought 3 packets of crisps. Yeah. I've only got so maybe you could go and ask your mum if she. Okay, no, yeah, you can have. Yeah. Okay, you take that.
You
okay,
take
my
both
kid's
of them,
crying.
Actually,
that's yeah. Awesome. Okay, yeah. Great.
Stop crying, so my children.
Oh dear.
Yes, I think we all
Oh, Lucy, you know we always ask favours of our dear listeners.
Yes.
We've got another favour now.
Have we?
Yeah, because kind people discovered there was such a thing as the British Podcast Awards.
Yes.
And have kindly, without us even knowing you could do that, gone to BritishPodcastAwards.com. No, wait.
Radio
British
Podcast.
BritishPodcastAwards.com /vote. If you go to BritishPodcastAwards.com /vote, you're then led to a page where there's a little search thing and it says search for your favourite podcast. You can just write Ambridge or, before you've even stopped writing on Ambridge on the Couch, it comes up with Ambridge on the Couch. You click and then I can't remember what happens. I think then they go, this one, and you go, yeah, whatever, click on it, and then you get an email to confirm that you voted for us in the Listener Choice Awards, Lucy.
Yay!
And we all know how much we love a party. So we don't care if we win, we just want to be nominated.
Yes. So we can stand on the red carpet again and pretend that we have, like last
oh
time.
Oh my God. And we'll just invite everyone who's voted for us
to our
party.
Yes, yes.
So yeah. That would be really lovely. Thank you very much in advance. Thank you.
Because we noticed that the people that cheered most and made the most noise at the Podcast Awards didn't win a thing.
It was the prison radio,
it was
wasn't
prison
it?
Radio. No, they did win. They did
actually,
win
they
one.
Won loads.
They had a ball, though.
Kiss FM cheered a lot, didn't they?
I think they were quite drunk.
We cheered a lot.
We did.
It was just us two going, But also, podcasts such as Ambridge on the Couch aren't nominated in these sort of podcast awards because we don't fall into a category.
No.
We're not, like, there's a million. They've got
miscellaneous. MISC. We're probably in a
file. But there isn't even that. There's like true crime, comedy, very good ones. And then there's like
weirdos.
There's a whole food category,
yeah.
Which is why I think we should put some more recipes in ours,
okay,
so we qualify.
Okay.
But there's no such thing as, there isn't like fan.
I did notice, I looked at the charts, because you always tell me off because I didn't look at the charts.
Yeah,
this looked at the charts, and we're 187 in the entertainment chart in El Salvador, so I thought you'd be pleased.
I'm delighted at that. Brilliant. Is that because there's only 2 people that listen to podcasts in El Salvador or something? I don't know. Who are we against? No, that is just really horrible and patronising. There must be some brilliant podcasts in El Salvador. Why would we be up there?
Probably not very many about
the Archers.
Radio 4 farming.
We're probably one of 6 in the Radio 4 category. Us and Dead Ringers.
It's us, Dead Ringers,
there.
In our time and money box.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine actually downloading in our time to listen to it? Oh my God. Yeah.
I
you do?
Yeah.
What? You actually listened to it on purpose?
On purpose?
Really?
It's interesting.
Well, you're very learned, that's why. It's because you learn stuff.
I am not learned.
God, I find it so boring. I mean, it's always stuff that I don't know about. I think that's why I find it boring.
That's the point. You're supposed to listen to it to learn about it.
Yeah, but they don't do like a beginner's guide to...
No, it's just old Belvin just starts and just goes, hello, we're now in the Paleolithic era. And da, 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 and you're like, what? And I love
Tell
it.
Tell me who.
It's like... It's like being in a really, really aggressive tutorial when he sort of says to people, so, can you expand, Sylvia, can you expand a little bit on this, please? Because I don't feel like we've got the full, I'm not really understanding why this is so significant. And she goes, and he says, all right, next. You know, and you can hear sort of the nervous
being. Yes, he's quite brutal, isn't he?
Right. Let's go back to the podcast. Thank you, Fabrice. Oh, yeah. If you would like to visit patreon.com and look up Ambridge on the couch, you can support us at any subscription level. Okay, you do this.
No, I was trying to memorize it. I wasn't being annoying. I was trying to see if I could remember it without the script.
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter @onambridge. Fabrice is @fabulousfabrice, or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
And now, is that you, Lucy, going to do this bit?
No, you do it, it's fine.
And now, the best bit of the show, Matt Rodriguez Payne will set the hearts of middle-aged men fluttering with memories of Felicity Kendall in her dungarees saying, "Oh, Tom," although anyone sensible was a Margot woman through and through, but there we are. So I can't read it as well as you can, because you've written it.
Can you do Felicity Kendall?
Oh, doesn't she sound like Kirsty?
It's amazing doesn't how many sound, people sound like her.
Tom, doesn't she sound like I?
Oh,
I don't read.
Tom, it was sort of like this,
oh, Tom.
She sort of had a giggly voice.
I can think about is like yellow text.
Yeah,
they have in 1970s sitcoms. They always had like yellow font.
Yeah,
doing the
and it was the petals that came in to make the flower, wasn't it? As it went round in a circle.
Sweet, that was really jolly. Sometimes, and 70s-ish.
I'm listening to Matt Rodriguez Payne and I think he hasn't put the archers in this. There is no archers. And then all of a sudden it's like da 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 da, and you think, oh, there it is.
He's just having a really nice time.
One day he's just going to give up and just think they're not going to notice, are they? If I don't put it in, it's fine.
I liked that 70s sitcom called, do you remember Butterflies?
Yes, with Wendy Craig.
I loved that. Mm. I was really like into that when I was very little. Very little.
Very, very little.
That was beautiful, Matt.
Yes.
Hey, theme guy, that was gorgeous. Oh, Lucy, it's going to be your birthday. The next time I see you. Oh,
and it's yours.
I know, but I'm staying in my decade. You're moving up.
I am. I think I'm in a new category. You know when they say which age? Oh, I'm in a new box now. Thank God.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for you, though. I think it's brilliant to have a big birthday.
Well done for not being dead yet. That's what you're trying
to say. Well done, Lucy. I mean, you know, you got this far and it's fine.
As I always say, at my age, every day is a blessing.
Every day's a blessing.
Yeah, and I think...
You got over halfway. You're 50%.
I can do me a bit of garden. I'll get out. I see people.
Oh, that's terrace nice.
It is nice.
You got your kiddies on the phone, haven't you? You got your special friend who comes and looks after you occasionally.
He's my boyfriend, Harriet. He's not my carer.
Is he younger than you?
He's
is
actually,
he?
Yeah. Oh, shut up.
Well, you look fabulous, darling, are we allowed to say that? We're actually allowed to say it, are we? Are we allowed to say the number?
What, because it's so enormous you think the radio might crash or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I am
fabulous
50.
At 50. Fabulous at 50. I've sent you a card, but it might be a couple of days late because I didn't have a first class stamp. I thought.
Whereas I drove around South Woodford today trying to find a post box that was a priority delivery to make sure that yours got there on time. But thanks, Harriet.
But I put a vote in for our podcast. Well, you'll get it on like Tuesday.
Did you not? Have you like taped a 50p piece to the front of it or something?
I said, please, Mr. Postman, she does a terribly good podcast. Please rush it along.
She's quite elderly and she needs all the cards she can get. Cheers.
And who knows in this... I mean, to be honest, presumably now we're living in the 70s again. A first class will take 3 weeks to get you anyway.
Yeah, but it will only cost 12p, so that's good.
Anyway, it's fine. We can still do the podcast.
Yeah.
Only technology might be down.
Yeah.
Wi-Fi might be down.
We'll have to set up some sort of pedal bike thing, so we just have to pedal like mad to get enough power to
while we're talking.
Yeah, keep pedalling, Harriet, faster. Little Lucy, legs will be a blur.
I just read your emails way quicker. Hurry up. Well, anyway, have a great time, and I'll see you next week anyway. We're
yes.
going out, aren't we? We're going to have a celebration.
Yes, we are.
So
yes, we'll
take loads of pictures. We'll do...
Can I play The Good Life again?
Oh, yes. Sorry. I'll get off. Can you tell? I don't want to leave.
Yes. What are you supposed to be doing?
Nothing. I'm just having a nice time. I'm so happy you're back.
Aww.
It's been a long 2 weeks, Lucy, without you, but I'm glad you're back.
Thank you.
And
nice
happy birthday.
And happy birthday to you too.
Thank you. All right, see you when we're older. See you in a year and nothing.
Yes. See you next year of our lives.
Next year of our
something.
Lives. That's it. Bye. I'm just going to go now, actually.
Okay.
And listen to Matt.
Okay. Bye.
Again. All right. Cheers, Em. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.